Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to having you join in this dialogue and discussion. Let me remind us again that this program is designed around you, our listener. It is designed in such a way that you can call in, join in the dialogue and the discussion, ask your questions, and participate. You can do so today by dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413 gets you straight through to the studio and right to our microphones so that we can have mutual dialogue and discussion. When we talk about issues, I want to remind us once again that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of some ideological, philosophical rhetoric. It's not based on some denominational dogma. It is not based on what you think or I think. It's based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word is truth. There are many people today that are not searching for truth, but are simply trying to have their ideological, philosophical way. In fact, we've gotten to the point, ladies and gentlemen, we're no longer listening to each other across the aisle, as the old cliche goes. The philosophy is now just screaming at each other. And the philosophy is that's promulgated by the socialist Democrats today. If you find a conservative any place in a restaurant, a shopping center, or a service station, you're to scream them down, or you're to chase them out, or you're to haul off and hit them, as we're finding this taking place now. We've gotten to a very low, denigrated fashion in our nation today. And this is the reason we're going to talk about a subject today that I believe is vital to every Christian. We're going to talk about the Christian's responsibility in voting. Or if you want to put it a little broader, the Christian's responsibility in government. There are a lot of folks today that will tell you that, and I hear it from pulpits, and we see pulpits for the past 50 years that have promulgated this thought, that Christians are to stay out of politics, Christians are to leave the political agenda up to the lost world. And this, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason we're in a denigrated quagmire today that the president started off calling the swamp, and now we recognize as the deep, deep, deep sewer. And it's because of the deep state, or as I've called for the past 15 or 20 years, I've called it the shadow government, that I believe has been in effect now for far more than just the Obama administration in history past. But I believe we've had the shadow government up and running for quite some time now, and it's just come to the forefront after Hillary Rodham Clinton and her socialist agenda and her radical rules based on Saul Alinsky when she was defeated. All of this now has come to the forefront, and we've found it out. But when we talk about facing the issue, we do so based on the Word of God. Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth." He had already said, told his disciples, "If you continue in my word," he didn't tell his disciples to continue the denominational rhetoric and rites and rituals and rules and regulations. "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm wanting us to focus on today as we think about it. Let's look at very briefly. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have on the microphone with us today our guest, Brother Don Redman. Don is running for Group 4 at large for city council. Don, we're going to talk in just a moment after the monologue about some of the issues that you're passionate about and why you want to be reelected. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, I would invite you to pick up the telephone, call your friends and relatives and neighbors, ask them to join in, tell them the radio dial number to dial in to listen, get them to listen to the broadcast and join in the dialogue and discussion. I don't know of anything, ladies and gentlemen, that's any more important right now to America than to see Christians vote. to see Christians grow a spine, a backbone, and vote. To see Christian pastors to grow a spine and not be afraid to stand in the pulpit and tell our people, hey, folks, we're in an election cycle. We need to make sure we vote for those men that'll stand for God and the Constitution and for our constitutional republic, and will take a stand. Brother Don, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for taking your time out of a busy schedule to come and sit at this microphone, and let's talk with the people.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here on the phone with you. I certainly appreciate it. And you're absolutely right. Christians need to step up, step out. We've been quiet for so long. We've let the world come in on us and take over, and it has not been a good thing.
Yeah, I've said, and you've heard me say before, the sodomites have come out of the closet. The Christians have gone in the closet.
I'm afraid so.
And yet we're supposed to be salt and light, and salt has no value if it stays in the shaker. Light has no illumination if it stays in the closet. But ladies and gentlemen, our nation is in an election cycle, both local, statewide, and national. In fact, in the state of Florida, our primary now is the 28th of August. And that's just about 3 weeks away, 28th of this month. And I believe as believers, we have an awesome responsibility before God and before our community to do that which is honorable to Him in our election voting process. The candidates we vote for and elect to office this cycle, ladies and gentlemen, will directly affect the way of life for our community, for our city, for our state, and yea, even for our nation for the coming years and for the near future. The decision, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me example that for us. The decision of a 5-4 vote by the Supreme Court destroyed God's plan for holy matrimony. These Supreme Court justices that cast the 5-4 decision were appointed by our elected presidents in years gone by. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason it's so important to put the right president in office. It inures to the benefit, and not always so, not an infallible truth, but generally it inures to the better appointments that's going to make decisions in the interpretation of our constitutional laws to determine what we must live under for the next several years. But the American family will never be the same as a result of this 5-4 vote making sodomite marriages legal in America. The morals and the ethics and the values of our families have been devalued by a single vote. Here's what James Dobson just said. He said more than half, and by the way, if you don't know him, it's Dr. James Dobson. For years and years and years, he's on the radio broadcast Focus on the Family, and now it's called the James Dobson Family Institute. Dr. Dobson said this, and I don't know how I can say it any more emphatically. More than half of Americans, including the majority of Christians, don't ever bother to vote. He says, shame on them. Shame on all of them. Don't they know that the tyranny for us and our children is only one generation, even one election away? And he goes further to say, we must vote, vote, vote. We must elect leaders who will defend what has been purchased with the blood of patriots who died to protect our liberty. Further, he says, we owe it to the memory of their sacrifice to preserve what they did for us. We must not fritter away on our watch what the patriots died to give us, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any better way. Brother Don, I don't know of any better emphatic statement than that. It should motivate Christians that's listening to register and to vote.
I agree with you. You know, it's a great thing that the evangelical Christians did get out to vote for our president, Donald
yes.
Trump. People don't understand
that. In fact, it was our vote
that
put him in office.
That's right. The evangelical Christians came through and did the right thing. They need to do that in this election coming up. They need
Absolutely.
To continue to do that.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine what will take place if we fail to vote and we lose the control of the House and the Senate? If we fail to vote and we allow the socialist Democrats, that's what they are, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Democrats, if we allow them to get back in control, it will nullify what President Trump could do.
We will have lost everything that we've worked on. I really believe that Trump is God's man of the hour.
Absolutely.
Whether he knows it or not, I believe that it God put him there for a reason, and if we don't stand by him and don't continue to get out and vote and elect the people that will support him and support the issues, the issues that that have, this country has been destroyed by some of the things that in the past have been legislated in and brought forth by past presidents. And he's working to change those, to reverse some major issues that we, you know, we need drastically.
And what we do on a local level, and I want our listeners to understand, ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 401-1413, jump in this dialogue and discussion. We're interviewing today Don Redman. Don is a candidate for Group 4 at large, city council member. He is up for election for that. He spent 8 years in the city council previous years. We'll talk about that in a minute. But ladies and gentlemen, that's who we're talking with. You can call in, ask a question for Don in relationship to what you feel that you are concerned about and interested in for his candidacy. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just for the local city council. In fact, as we were talking a moment ago, Brother Don, with putting President Trump in office, most people are not aware of the fact that of what he's done. I will not even try to get into all that he's done in relationship to the economy and to the protection for our military, et cetera, et cetera. But he has appointed almost 200 judges. Approximately 100 have been confirmed, and approximately another 100, 122 that's still yet to be confirmed. And these judges will live beyond the presidency of Donald J. Trump in making decisions based on the authority of the Constitution. And I find that incredible, ladies and gentlemen, that as Christians, we would fail to vote. And may I ask you a very personal, poignant, pointed question? If you're listening today and you're not registered to vote, shame on you. If you're listening today, if you're listening then, you're a Christian and you're not registered to vote, shame, shame on you is all I can say. We're talking with Don Redman, candidate for city council, Group 4 at large. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for taking my call. I've known Don for many years, worked with him on the PTA, and I support his candidacy, and I support your efforts to marshal the troops and get right-thinking, right-voting people running for office and voting for them. I was stunned to learn, even though I've been heavily involved with the school board through an advisory committee just a couple days ago, from a kindergartner pre-first grade educational teacher in the Duval County School Board, that the curriculums that she is forced to teach include the LGBT agenda. So much that she refused to do this because it violated her core Christian beliefs.
Good for her.
My question is whether Don, I know Don has been heavily involved in the school advisory committee over the years, and whether he was aware that the curriculum has degraded to this point. Apparently it goes back to Dr. Vitti. I knew a lot of us suspected something like this might occur, but I didn't realize that it had actually been implemented. I'm curious as to what can be done about the situation. And I know city council and the school board are two separate entities, but of course we just had this the district court ruling by the judge in St. Johns County. I'd like to hear a discussion of what can we do as individuals and as a body of believers to try to overturn and address some of these issues.
Great question. If you want to hang on and let's have the dialogue and discussion, we'll do so. Don, what do you say to Gary's question in relationship to the school board and the sodomite curriculum that's being forced upon our students?
Well, thank you, Gary, for calling. And yes, this does concern me dramatically. I had not heard of that in particular. I have seen it coming. I have heard of issues where things were being taught and allowed in our public school system that are not right. And citizens and parents need to take a stand. And that's what it's going to take. I have not really got to know the new superintendent yet. Don't know how she will stand on issues, family issues, moral issues. I'm hoping that we have somebody that will work with us and as a Christian and do the right thing. I'm working with a group right now. We are having a meeting next week to try to get the Bible back in the school system. This is, you know, just getting started, but I mean, without you know, we're going to have to, as citizens, as parents, as grandparents, which I am with kids and grandkids in schools, and of course, you know, Gary, that I serve on the school advisory committee and meet with these teachers and principals, and we have to take a stand in these meetings that we go to and have to find out what is being taught.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, I appreciate your call, and we'll further discuss this because I have quite a few other things that Don and I will discuss, and I pray that it'll
sure.
be a blessing and a benefit. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, as you just heard the caller asking the question, and let me further elaborate on that for your edification. We just know that the U.S. District Judge Corrigan down in St. Johns County just ruled last Thursday that sodomites have the right to go into the bathroom, the locker rooms, the dressing rooms, and the showers, and some special exception is made because of a immoral, ungodly, unholy lifestyle that's been chosen, where a person is conflicted and confused about his own sexuality. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not unique just to St. Johns County. And as our caller just mentioned, under the leadership of Superintendent Vitti that left our school system, and thank God he did, but just left our school system in Duval County, most are not aware of the fact that when President Barack Hussein Obama instituted the open bathroom policy in 2012, that immediately Dr. Vitti latched onto that and agreed and concurred with that and instituted that for Duval County. Secondly, I want us to understand that the LGBTQI, whatever other acronym you want to add to that, the sodomite group, Equality Jacksonville, Equality Florida, Equality America, that whole organization, they have totally infiltrated and taken control of the U.S. Department of Education and the Educational Teachers Union that's mandating and demanding that the sodomite curriculum be taught in all of our public schools. And that is permeating society's educational system in what I call the governmentally controlled schools from kindergarten through high school. And it's a sad, sad, sad shame that we're finding that. In fact, Brother Don, let me just add this at this juncture. Most may not be aware of the fact that coming this Thursday, the sheriff's going to be meeting with the Equality Jacksonville group. It's an open meeting. The meeting is designed to, quote, discuss and have dialogue in relationship to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Department having more sensitivity to the LGBTQ group of citizens in our city. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. If you make a lifestyle choice to live in the gutter and to reject God's plan, one man, one woman, one lifetime, one commitment in holy matrimony. If you reject God's plan of his creation, and he created male and female, he created men and women, he didn't create the sodomites, and yet that group is going to be meeting at the Florida State College, 101 West State Street, room A, 1068, at 7 o'clock this Thursday. That's on the 2nd of February. And the design purpose of the meeting is to meet with and have open dialogue and discussion with the Sheriff's Department and our sheriff. And the design purpose of the LGBTQ is to put our Sheriff's Department on the horns of a dilemma and to force them to allow Equality Jacksonville, the sodomite group in our city, to teach our police officers some special sensitivity on special treatment for the sodomite community in Jacksonville. And it is born out of the fact that in the past year, about 4 transvestites have been slain in our city. Now, I don't condone or authorize a said charge to kill somebody, but when you have a man dressed as a woman out on the street prostituting and then is picked up by a man and the man discovers he has a sodomite lesbian, i.e. Transvestite, and he gets angry and shoots that person, then what are we supposed to do as a governing body? and now that entire organizational group blaming the sheriff's department for not being sensitive when they send that body to the morgue, and the coroner says it's a man, and so he's identified as a man in the public news as being shot while in a woman's dress, and now all of a sudden the sheriff is at fault. The police officer at fault. If it were not so sad, it would almost be laughable, but that's where we are. And that same thing permeates our schools. Don, as an elected official going into the city council, and I realize, just as our caller said, the city council is not the school board, but there's a lot of passivity that takes place with our city council that will not stand up for these issues. I believe, Don, and I believe you'll agree, our listeners, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we elect moral, ethical men to positions of leadership that will take a stand on these issues. Brother Don, tell me, as city councilman, how would you stand, what would you do in relationship to dialogue and discussion in a public arena on this? Would you simply bow and bend or sway, or would you simply take a stand on what is biblical, what is honorable, what is constitutional, and what is right?
Brother Gene, I fought this battle when I was on the city council for 8 years. We turned down, voted against an HRO piece of legislation that came before us. Now, the next city council group, the one that is there now, took it up again and passed it. But this is where this all stems back to special rights. The homosexual community has the same rights as everybody else, equal rights. I don't have any more rights as a normal person than they do. They want special rights, the special rights to act the way they want to, the special right to dress and consider from day to day what they want to be, what restroom they want to use. They want the right to act out any way they want to act and for the public to have to accept it. And now they want the police to protect them as they act out these different issues that they
as they carry out their ungodly lifestyle.
Yes, they carry out an ungodly lifestyle. Now, I had the media come to me many times when we were fighting this battle in city council and asked me, Don, have you changed your mind? Are you going to support this? I said, the Bible has not changed, until it does, and it won't, I will not change. God's word is very emphatic that, you know, it's wrong. It's a sin. He was very strong in the what happened to in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's just an illegitimate lifestyle that we should not have to have our children subjected to, taught or tried to convince them that it's normal. And we have clubs here in Jacksonville that they've put together to bring kids into, to show them this lifestyle, to push this lifestyle on them. These are things that we as a community have got to take a stand on. And the people that we elect to office, you need to make sure that their thoughts are right.
Yes.
That they will take a stand.
Absolutely. This thing now with the Sheriff's Department is being pushed by Jasmine Club, which is a youth organization over in Riverside, where they literally, ladies and gentlemen, listen, Jasmine organization literally will go out on the street corners and recruit young lads and young ladies, bring them in and dress them in the opposite sex garments and convince them that they are lesbian, gay, transsexual, homosexual, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
As young as that's, 10 years old.
That's right, as young as 10 years old. And that organization, along with the Equality Jacksonville, along with the group, ladies and gentlemen, that believe it or not, it's called the Stiletto Sisters Group in our city. Stiletto Sisters simply indicating those men that are dressed as a female with high-heeled shoes on walking the streets in our city. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Don Redmond. Don is the candidate for Group 4 at Large City Council for the upcoming election. And I realize we're a few months away from the primary in that. But you need to understand that as Christians, we need to take a stand. Ladies and gentlemen, you still have time to dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Jump in this dialogue and discussion. Don, another question that we need to talk about that I believe, and I'm passionate about it, we have now the referendum was passed in DeVol County that and for the state of Florida, I should say, that allows pot to be dispersed on the basis that it's medical marijuana. We have now some 10, 12, 14 pot shops on street corners all over Jacksonville where they are pushing medical marijuana. The coming legislative session, January, February, March, and April of next year, our legislators in Tallahassee is going to be wrestling with the fact that now they're now trying to modify that law and allow medical marijuana to be ingested by puffing. But I believe that we have a responsibility as city councilmen, as a city council, we have the responsibility, you being in office as a city councilman, God willing, next year, that there would be a responsibility and an opportunity for there to be some curbing of the legislative permission in DeVol County for where those shops can be placed. Right now, they have an opportunity to put those pot shops near schools and near churches. It's bad enough to have them. But if they're close to schools where kids can walk out of school and go buy pot on the premise that it is for medical marijuana, and don't you dare anybody ever try to tell me, convince me, that a kid can't walk in with false identification for a false age and buy pot and call it medical marijuana. So, Don, tell me, tell our listeners where you stand on this wicked, evil, deplorable drug that's being passed on now as being okay across the nation.
Well, I think that we're headed down a slippery slope with this marijuana issue. I've seen what it has done in Colorado. In Denver, they have pot shops all over the place, and it's deteriorated the city to the point that they can't get people to work. They want to lay around and do nothing. But this is an evil thing. We definitely need to keep it away from our schools, our churches, and our city council has been reluctant to take a stand and protect our churches, protect our schools. They allow keep allowing these bars to open up closer and closer to our schools. We have ordinances that have been passed. We have laws on the books that says you can't get but so many feet with a bar to the school or to the church, and on a regular basis they change this. They come in and have somebody with a little bit of power to push to change it. The big thing now are these breweries, and they keep putting them closer and closer to the schools. They've got one down on Main Street, I believe. It's just within a block of a school.
Well, Don, one of the things that you may not want to address that I will for our listeners' edification, one of the problems with this pot ordinance and the way it was then orchestrated and codified in ordinance for DeVol County is as a result of so many of our city councilmen being paid by the pot industry, just as they were paid by the LGBTQ group, the Equality Jacksonville, for the vote. I'm horrified by that. Don, we've got about a minute left. Tell our listeners how they can get involved in helping your election. Tell them how they can reach you by telephone, by email, by website, so that we, ladies and gentlemen, we need to put Don Redmond in the city council for DeVol County. And the Don Redmond candidacy for Group 4 is for the entire city, not just for district, but for the entire city.
Anywhere Don, in DeVol County, yes, sir. Citywide, my phone number, 904-626-9307. That's my cell phone. I answer that anytime anybody calls me. My address, 2760 Belfort Road. I'm a small businessman. I have a business there, barbershop, beauty shop, and I welcome anybody to come by and discuss issues with me at any time. My website, voteforDonRedmond.com. My email address is donredmond@att.net. So feel free to email me, call me, come by and see me. I need your support. I need your help to win this election. We need you to get out and vote. Like Brother Gene said, our election is not until March of next year, but it'll be here before you know it. But get out and vote in this election coming up for the state offices. And you know, check these people out. Make sure you know what you vote.
Yes, we need to vote. And when it's coming up to the 28th of this month, 28th of August, we need to make sure that we're involved in the primary and election. Our governor is going to be replaced because he's termed out. We have a lot of the legislators for several of our districts that are up for election. And we right now on the very cusp and the beginning stages of getting the city council in place for next year. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in. Remember, we've been talking with Don Redmond, city council candidate for Group 4 at large. Vote for the man or the woman that God will have us to vote for that will stand for Christian principles. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.